We're familiar with limited time offers. This opportunity won't last long. It will only be here for a little while. Call now. If you call now in the next 10 minutes, we'll double the offer. You have all kinds of opportunities, as it were, to come and to buy and to purchase. And perhaps you too can think of times where you missed your chance. Looking back with somewhat of maybe remorse or regret even, you know, if only I would have X, Y, Z. You know, if only I would have went after her faster when we were in middle school, maybe she would have been lucky enough to marry me. If only, you know, I would have spoke up in class, that teacher wouldn't have thought I was as dumb as they thought I was. If only I would have made that throw. If only I would have took the shot. If only I would have swung the bat. If only we had a quarterback. If only, if only, if only. And so many times people are looking back at missed opportunities and missed chances at a passing opportunity that goes by. Every time that we meet together, we have an opportunity, as it were. We extend the invitation. And I don't want to make light of this in any way. And I think sometimes that's in fact what happens. We become complacent and we know that this doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't need to come forward. You know, I'm good. I don't need to be saved. I'm living a good life. I've got it. I don't need to listen. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to pay attention. And in fact, we miss an opportunity. And for quite some time, there have been in my life, when I was on the brink, as it were, of becoming a Christian, that I thought to myself, next time. You know, I'll do it. We're going to meet again Sunday morning. I'll do it next time. We'll meet Wednesday night. Here it is Sunday night. Everybody's ready to go eat. Well, I'll do it next time. And that rocked on for a week or two, and that week or two turned into a month or two, and that month or two turned into half a year. And I realized that time was passing by, but the time that I had in my hands was unknown. It's easy to go to the store and spend $100. You say, I've got $100 to spend, and you can spend, and you can spend, and you can spend, and you know when you've spent all your money because there's not any more there. And so, you know, well, I'm going to put off buying this, or I don't really want those shoes. I'd really rather have this shirt, or I don't want to buy these pair of pants because I'd really rather have this bow tie. And I know I've only got this limited amount of money. But let's say you don't know how much money you've got. Are you more selective or are you less selective? You see, with our time, we don't know how much time we've got. We know how much time we have in the present. We know that we have this moment, as it were, but we don't know how much is left. So are you buying the things that you really need with your time, or are you regretting that and passing up an opportunity? And specifically as it applies to us this evening, are you passing by an opportunity for you to become a Christian, for you to return to God? You see, the children of Israel, time and time again, they had this problem. They would err. They would not do as God desired for them to do. So God would send a prophet. And the prophet would say, you've sinned. You've done wrong. You need to correct your ways. Sometimes the children of Israel would say, okay. But far more often, they would say, well, whatever. You know, that's no big deal. And then a great calamity would fall upon them. Affliction would arise. And the prophet would say, there's more and more of this coming. There's more and more of this coming. If you do not correct your ways, if you do not turn around and go back to serving the God of your fathers that delivered you from the land of Egypt. Time and time again, this type of rhetoric was uttered. The children of Israel would keep on doing what they were doing, and they would fall into captivity more often than not. Well, this kind of warning came from the prophet Jeremiah. And he told them of an opportunity that they had, and it was presented to them to correct the error of their ways. He brought to their knowledge the sin that was in their life, and then he begins to tell them that they need to correct it, or your punishment is imminent. And after knowing of the punishment that would fall to the land of Judah, Jeremiah, in chapter 8, verse 20 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." When it all comes down to it, at the end of your life, are you saying the things, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved"? We need to get a better understanding of what Jeremiah was speaking to. So we're going to have a fairly lengthy reading from Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to read verses 4 through 17. Follow with me here as we're going to make several points concerning these verses. "Moreover, you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in perpetual backsliding? And they hold fast to deceit, and they refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned from to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed, and they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, so what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not ashamed, nor did they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, nor leaf shall fade. The things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for the peace, but no good came. For a time of health, there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city of those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord." This warning was given out to these people within Jerusalem, and many of them even thought, despite the warnings of Jeremiah and despite the habitual actions of their fathers before them, they thought, "We're okay. We're all right. There's no big wrong thing here. Peace, peace," they all cried. They cried out that everything was okay. Everything was all right. There's no wrong. There's no harm. Everything's okay. All is quiet. All is calm. There's no worries. There's no imminent danger before us. Everything's all right. You know, tomorrow we can just wake up and eat breakfast or not eat breakfast or go to work or not go to work or go to school or put the thermometer by the light bulb and say we're hot. You can do whatever you want to do. You may think everything's okay. Everything's all right. There's no worry about the next hour, no worry about the next day. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, speaking of the same way as the thief shall return in the night, it said in verse 2, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You know, this was on Halloween 2 years ago coming up. Haley and I went to my aunt and uncle's who live in Indian Trace because we go to town because they got all that good candy. And we were going to walk through their subdivision. We walked through and Haley sat in the house. She said, I'm just going to put my feet up and prop up. So you feel bad? No, I'm just tired. What are you tired for? I'm growing a human body. What do you think I'm doing? So I said, okay, you just sit there and put your feet up, you know. I'll take Levi and we'll go trick-or-treating. So we did that. We come home and everything's just fine and dandy. And next thing I fall asleep. And next thing I know, she's screaming from the bathroom. We got to go. I don't know what's going on, but we have got to go. And so gone we went. There wasn't really any warning ahead of time. It was, okay, now something's changed. And in your life, it will be just the same way with the returning Jesus. You'll think everything's just fine. It'll be another day that I can go to work or not, or stay home or eat or not eat. I can go to school or not go to school. I can go on a trip or stay home. It's just another day. And everything seems all right. And everything seems peace and calm. What you do not realize is the imminent threat that is to your life if you are not a child of God. There are several characteristics of sin which are mentioned within the verses that we read, and we're going to look at them. And as I read through them, there was uncanny resemblance to Romans chapter 1 that I also found. And if you want to go back and read Romans 1, I would encourage you to do so. We'll make several correlations there within those verses. The first characteristic of sin is that it was everywhere. You know, it was all pervasive. It was in every person. In verse 6 it said, no man repented. Everyone turned to his own course. He did his own thing. He did it his own way. He did what felt good to him and his own action and her own desire. That's what was done. That's what we wanted, so that's what we got. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things shall deserve death, they do not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. They do it, and so does everyone else. It was mentioned in the days of Noah as it became time for this evil land to be destroyed and to be utterly wiped out, as God was going to send rain and flood the earth. It was said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That whatever they thought about was bad, whatever they did was bad, and all things were bad. And that's the way it was throughout all the land. No man repented. Everyone turned to his own course. And that's the way it is. It grows like the plague. We stand around and we let evil grow and evil grow amongst all man. And second thing is that it was unnatural. Even storks and turtle doves responded to their designer. They go to the south for the winter to enjoy a little warmer temperature than the frozen lakes of the north, and they would migrate around as the designer had made them to do. They know when to go up and they know when to come down, and they know all these things because of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Whenever we look around at nature, we see God. We see God's handiwork. And this evening, as the sun begins to set, we see God's beautiful picture that He paints in the evening. And though we lay down our head with anticipation of tomorrow, there is no promise of tomorrow. It is unnatural. It was unnatural for us, even as mankind, to deny the existence of God because of what exists in the world around us, because of what nature is and what nature has become. God alone could do those things. Third characteristic of sin, it was based on lies. It said, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us. The false pen of the scribes. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 talks about how the mankind will conglomerate and get his own speakers together. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There's so many people that would rather be told what they want to hear than to hear the truth. Because the truth sometimes is hard. The truth is sometimes difficult to swallow. But the truth is always told out of love. Only one that hates someone else would ever tell them a lie. And that may be the truth within you and your family, your existence within mankind. What have you been harboring and sheltering from someone you love and telling them a lie? Do you really hate them? Or do you really love them? Do you have that agape love? That I love you, I want what's best for you. And that's why I'm telling you the truth. Because the truth is what's going to set you free. There's nothing else. Lies, false teachers, serving things of this earth instead of the one who created the earth. Those are the things that are going to send you to destruction. The fourth characteristic of sin is shameless. He said, nor did they know how to blush. I think about Adam and Eve when they first ate of that fruit that was in the tree of the garden, which they were told not to eat of. They immediately felt naked. They never felt that feeling before. They felt shame. They felt like, I need to be covered. But here the heart has become so hardened. Here the mankind is so infiltrated with sin and Satan and to do his works, they don't even blush anymore. They have no shame in the sin that they commit. They don't even care. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. Their hearts were hardened. They thought they were wise and they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. And they didn't care. They were happy in it. They glorified in it. They gave hearty approval, as we will see momentarily, for the things that were done. So not only did they tolerate it, but they enjoyed it and they encouraged it. Sin's also destined for punishment. In verse 13, it referred to, there's no grapes on the vine nor figs in the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade. In Romans chapter 1, the phrase God gave them up or God gave them over is mentioned three times. In verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. That God endured for a while their ignorance, but God has now handed them over. He has handed them over for the punishment that they deserve. And though all these sins flourish on the earth, it is because they deny God and God as Lord and Creator of the heavens and the earth. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They know these things. They know that those who sin and do wrong are destined for punishment and destined for death. You yourself know that even though I sit here in my sin-sick way, that my distress and my demise is imminent. We know that I deserve death. But you don't do any changing. You're passing the opportunity by. And not only do you do those things, but you approve of all those who practice them. So not only do you sin, but everybody at work that sins with you, you enjoy it together. Everybody at school that sins with you, you enjoy it together. Everyone that goes to the club with you, you all sin and you all sin together and you love it. And you say, by showing your approval, the next round's on me. Not only am I going to be like you, not only am I going to encourage you, but I'm going to give you opportunity to do it at my expense. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they keep on doing it and show approval for it. In verse 18, Jeremiah begins to lament this and to feel sorrowful for the things that was about to come. Verse 18, I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country is not the Lord in Zion, is not her king in her. Why have they provoked me to anger with their carven images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning, astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? It's like it would be okay if I didn't know there was a solution to the problem. If I knew there was this problem that existed and I didn't know a solution, I would still be upset and I would be distraught. But I can kind of understand. Just like if there was a problem within your life that, you know, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to, you know, how to help you. I feel sorry for you, but, you know, I really don't know what to do. I know it ain't right, but as far as your sin, I feel sorry for you. You know, I wish you'd do something about it. But the thing is I know what you can do about it. You see, there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician to heal you from your sin-sick life. There is a place of recovery. There is opportunity, and you just keep on doing what you're doing and loving every minute of it, passing by the opportunity. Number 881 in the big book is, there is a balm in Gilead. It says, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my works in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead there to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can't sing like angels, if you can't preach like Paul, then tell the love of Jesus and say He died for all. And it repeats the chorus once again. You see, Jesus is our balm of Gilead. He is the healing spring. It is He who is the cure for our sins. It is He who is the great physician. It is He who cleanses all iniquity. And it is He who has given us our opportunity to be saved that so many are passing by. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Perhaps you're like the Israelites who had left the Lord God and sought out your own ambitions to do your own thing, to do it your own way, and you enjoyed it for a little while. And you see the results of your sin, and you see the results of the things that you've done, and you see the results of there being no hope in the things that you're doing. You see the glass can never be empty. You see the line can never be ended. You see there can never be enough women. You see there can never be enough of your own ambitions. And you're tired, and you're sick, and you're wore out, and you're ready to give it up. You're ready to find the balm of healing that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And perhaps you're here this evening and you're not a Christian. Pass not by another opportunity to be washed into the cleansing waters that are clean and pure in the blood of Jesus Christ, and to rise up being forgiven, totally, entirely forgiven of your sins. Every wrong you've ever done will be washed away, and you will be made whole, and you will be clean, and you will be healed. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation to come, we invite you to come before the harvest is past, before the summer is ended, and come so you can say, "We are saved." Would you please come as we stand and as we sing?